D.R. Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. A federal judge today ordered Donald Trump to respond by Monday to a motion by special counsel Jack Smith. Smith was seeking to prevent Trump from posting or disseminating evidence from his election conspiracy case. And CBS News has now learned the Trump team has asked the judge to give them until Thursday to respond to the request for a so-called protective order. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
The real order here is to get Donald Trump not to stop talking at his public events, but perhaps to keep him from releasing to the public through social media and otherwise things that should remain private, at least until the court allows their dissemination.
Smith filed his motion last night, hours after Trump posted a message on social media seen by some as threatening to prosecutors. A judge in Texas has ruled that the state's abortion ban is too restrictive for women with pregnancy complications. Reporter Paige Hubbard at KEYE-TV in Austin.
Doctors with patients who have complicated pregnancies can now perform abortions under certain circumstances without the risk of being jailed, fined, or losing their license. On Friday, Travis County Judge Jessica Mangrum issued a ruling that physicians cannot face repercussions for using good faith judgment when deciding it's appropriate to conduct the procedure.
The state is expected to quickly appeal. It argues the law already allows for exceptions. America's midsection is under the threat of severe weather, says National Weather Service meteorologist Bob Orovec.
Across parts of Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, and even this morning, we had a separate area a little farther to the north where we had some 5 to 7 inch rainfall amounts along the Iowa, Missouri, Illinois border areas.
The Mega Millions jackpot just keeps growing.
Did you win the Mega Millions? No, you did not, because no one won.
His winning numbers are 45, 30, 52, 56, 11, and the Mega Ball is 20.
Since no one had those numbers, the jackpot has increased to $1.5 billion. Someone is going to be very, very rich. But you know what they say, you can't win if you don't play. The next drawing is Tuesday night. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
A mother of four from Georgia, reported missing last month, has been found dead. Rockdale County Sheriff Eric Levitt said they found the body of 29-year-old Imani Robertson yesterday. He says the woman's husband, Donnell Anderson, has been arrested.
When that body was found, it was our mission, especially mine, to make sure that we could convince our judges and or DA's office that we had enough evidence to secure a warrant and to get him off the street.
A man in Montana has shot and killed a black bear he found in his living room. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A lawsuit filed with the Wisconsin Supreme Court this week seeks to have the state's gerrymandered legislative districts ruled unconstitutional. Mike Moen reports.
The liberal organization Law Forward, along with Democratic voters from around the state, has filed a petition with Wisconsin Supreme Court to overturn legislative districts drawn by Republicans. Law Forward's Jeff Mandel says the redistricting outcomes, which have benefited the GOP for more than a decade, are an affront to democracy.
Every day that it continues is a violation of the most fundamental rights of every Wisconsinite.
Mandel says if recent gerrymandering seen in the U.S. had been stopped earlier, some of the efforts to undermine the democratic process, such as the allegations in the Trump indictment, might not have come to pass. Meanwhile, in response to the Wisconsin court filing, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, a Republican, says the plaintiffs are counting on a judicial fiat to gain power. The senator contends the current maps are valid and constitutional. However, Mark Gaber, who leads redistricting efforts for the Campaign Legal Center, points out that for several years now, Wisconsin's political maps have been skewed in such a way that voters have never had a legitimate chance to elect a Democratic majority for the legislature.
Not just the Democratic voters of Wisconsin, but independents and Republicans who might sometimes wish to switch their views in a certain election.
In last year's election, Republicans won 64 of 99 assembly seats, along with 22 of 33 state Senate seats. That's despite Democratic victories in 3 of 5 statewide elections. Currently, the plaintiffs are not asking the court to address Wisconsin's congressional maps, but that hasn't been ruled out. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hi, this is Lindsay Kynard at 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, The Shaw. Here are upcoming events happening in the area.
The Ozaukee County Fair in Cedarburg runs through Sunday. Plan your visit by logging on OzaukeeCountyFair.com. The Wisconsin State Fair begins Thursday and runs until Sunday, August 13th. Tickets at the gate or in advance, go to WisStateFair.com. Check out the Bayshore Sounds of Summer on Friday night from 6 till 9 with their free concert series. For more details, BayshoreLife.com. Saturday night at 6:30, the Heart of Black will be playing at the Umbrella Bar at the Rock Sports Complex in Franklin. Have a night of fun and live music. And jumpstart your weekend and stop by Cathedral Square Park on Sunday morning for fresh produce, locally made crafts, wellness vendors, live entertainment, and great activities.
If you have an event you'd like us to share, let me know. Email me, Lindsay Kynard, at info@civicmedia.us.
On the day that we recorded Will's podcast, he had just learned 2 days before that his nephew had taken his own life. So his feelings were pretty raw, and he still wanted to go ahead with the podcast to share what this experience was like. So we've edited the original interview for content to make it more appropriate for radio. There were plenty of graphic details that do tell more of the story of what a survivor of gun violence goes through. So if you would like to listen to the entire conversation, you can do so by going to civicmedia.us under shows and look for Bird on a Wire and click on that link. I also want to invite you to come to some of our events. They will always be posted on Civic Media's social medias, so keep an eye out for that. I do want to mention why Will's story is so important. The trends right now are alarming. We're seeing things happen that are taking us backwards. There's been challenges to our schools where teachers are not being allowed to use pronouns to talk to their students without talking to the parents first. There's a lot of misinformation out there about what is even being taught in our schools. And, we should be a bit alarmed about the fact that the current U.S. Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade. It's pretty scary to think that they might be coming out for gay rights next. So these are all reasons that we need to tell these stories. We need to become aware of what's going on, and we need to stay involved. I've also heard of several areas where they're banning books in schools, books like To Kill a Mockingbird or Charlotte's Web. There also is a trend recently in our area where the school boards are setting policies that don't allow a teacher to simply put a little sticker on her door. It's a safe sticker. It's a symbol that if you're struggling with depression, mental health, sexuality issues, you can come and talk to this person. This person is trained and can help you. But now they're banning those because they want the entire schools to be viewed as safe. But we know they're not. We know that bullying is still happening, and we know that we are still working toward that desire. So in the meantime, what's wrong with safe stickers? They're also recently in Waukesha, they banned a teacher from having her class sing a song about a rainbow. And then when she simply took the time on her own time to inform the public that this had happened, she was fired for her actions. So we do need to be alarmed. And this does raise questions. Also, I do want to mention, recently a Pride event was canceled in Greenfield because of a fear of violence, not because there was any threat. So we need to be alarmed and be paying attention to these trends, because we do not want to see our rights continue to be eroded. Our values, we share the same values, and we all care about human rights. We care about personal freedoms. And if we do, then we better be paying attention to some of these trends. When I was running for the assembly last year, I knocked on over 4,000 doors. And in doing so, I heard a lot of things that we have in common. In fact, we have more things in common than we do different. And I heard over and over again the very things that might have saved both Will's nephew and mine, that people really want gun reforms that will save lives. None of us are for taking away Second Amendment rights, the right to bear arms. This isn't about these gun reforms are not about taking away Second Amendment rights. They are simply about keeping guns from out of the hands of people who might harm themselves or harm others. There are simple ways that we can make it safer in our communities. And people at the doors I talked to agreed with me on those things. They also would bring up mental health. Most of us know somebody who has struggled with some kind of a mental health condition, and totally support doing more to address these issues in our schools and in our communities and in our families. And the newer one that's coming up that people are less comfortable with is understanding transgender and how to resolve some of those issues about which bathrooms. And I would just reassure them that that is going to be worked out at the local level, that we will find ways that make everybody feel comfortable and safe and doesn't discriminate against anyone who has a different sexual orientation. So we all need to learn how to do that better. And women's rights, voting rights, those are all things I heard at the doors that people want. So the good news is we can do something about it. I know that in my past, when my husband was paralyzed in a construction accident, and I got on the school board and made sure that all of the schools were wheelchair accessible. When we needed sewer in our neighborhood, I got on the Sanitary District Commission and worked with the commission and with the city to get sewer installed in our neighborhood. And when I was the lobbyist for the League of Women Voters for a couple of years, I was very successful in getting 9 out of 11 of the bills I lobbied for or against that went our way. So I have hope that we can change things. And you're listening because you care. So I encourage you to call your legislator. We can do something about these issues that Will has brought to the forefront of his life. He's 80 years old. He has suffered through many, many challenges in his life. And yet he's still in here telling his story so that we can make things better. Again, you can call your legislators on the gun reforms. There's some simple things we can do, and I hope that you will reach out as soon as you can to let your legislators know, and also get involved in your local school board races. Make sure that your school board members know that you want bullying to stop, that you want schools to be safe. So again, thank you for listening and caring. I hope you can attend one of our events. We have lots more to talk about, and it's through these conversations with people that we hope to give people hope, that we all learn to be a part of a more civil society. And I think those two things lead to the kind of actions that we want to see that'll make our society a better place. Hello, this is Luann Bird. In this episode, we will be talking about prejudice, depression, suicide, and the gift of being gay. If you or someone you know is struggling, help is available. Dial 988 for the 24/7 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Again, that's 988, and thank you for listening. Welcome to Bird on a Wire, live on tour. I'm Lou Ann Bird, your host for this podcast, along with Civic Media, who is hosting this on their websites and on their social media. So thank you to all the folks at Civic Media who are making this possible. The purpose of these podcasts are to inspire you, the audience, to hopefully have some new ideas, new ways that you could take action. It's hope, civility, and action that it spurs the kind of change that we want to see in our society. And it's why I personally am doing this. And when I got the call to run last year, that was why. I said, that's it. The political system is broken. We're not listening to each other. We're not talking to each other. So we need to bring civility back, and we need to have hope that we can change things, and that spurs action. Because if there's hope, that means there's work to do. So today, I'm very happy and thankful that I'm here with Will Radler in his beautiful Rosarium garden. The way I met Will was I knocked on your door last year.
As she did with most
of us. As I did with a lot of people. And then I knocked on his door and I introduced myself and I told you why I was running. And within 30 minutes, not only did he say he would vote for me, but then we scheduled a beautiful event right here in your Rosarium to have a Bird Songs concert. Right? That's
right.
That's how we got started.
Right? Yeah. Right? You were telling me what I wanted to hear.
What do you remember from that?
What do I remember from that? I was kind of blown out of the water that I had someone running for office that was telling me words that I had not heard before. The words civility in politics, I had not heard that before. I heard issues in themselves, to me, it does not make sense, because it's the whole picture that makes sense. It's how we live with each other, how it makes sense, how we get along to get each other, how we make life better for each other, how we love each other.
So that's how I look at life too. And I think that's why we've become such good friends. I really feel that my experience even is with creating change, that it's through building relationships with each other and listening to each other. And as I knocked on doors, that became more obvious to me that that's what people wanted. It's not about tearing down another person, but it's about giving people hope. So one thing that I learned about you, Will. So Will, I'm going to let you talk about yourself here in a minute, but I want to open this up with one thing that we now have in common. Will got news. Well, we want to talk tonight about what life is like as a gay man. And Will is LGBTQ+ proud and has known that for almost all of your life, right?
Right.
Since you were a little boy.
Right.
And so we were going to talk about that tonight to begin with. And more about his life and journey with that. Also, though, he got a phone call this weekend. And we wanted to talk about diversity. We wanted to talk about inclusion. We wanted to talk about mental health issues and depression. We wanted to talk about all of that tonight, because Will has a story about all of that and even about suicide. And Will started or called me today, wasn't sure we could do this, because he got a call that his nephew had taken his life with a gun this past weekend. He was only 16 years old, and he lived in Germantown, and he's named after Will, right? So tonight we're going to dedicate this podcast to Willie and to all of those who might be struggling, right?
Right.
So thank you, Will, for being able to still do this. We both have experienced this kind of loss. Mine was in May. So we shared a lot today about what that's like to go through that.
You don't know how to react to. You can't turn around. You can't make it better. Here is a kid.
Tell us about
it. He's 16 years old. He was dealing with juvenile diabetes. He was being bullied at school. He was having trouble dealing with his sexuality. I was being told what he was dealing with, and I care not to talk about that now because I don't know how much of it's fact, but I do know that he was going one way and then another, not knowing which way was him. And I know how that goes because I went through that. When you're trying to please other people, you put your own feelings aside in an effort to try to please everyone. In so doing it, you go into a state of deep depression, which I did. Thanks to modern medicine and therapists, I'm here today. I'm a valued member of the community, and not everybody has been able to have the assets that I've been able to have. One of the reasons that I'm telling my stories, I think it's so important that those assets be made easily available to everybody in the community.
Name some of those assets. Like what? What do we need?
Mental health. Easy access to mental health. The games that we're playing on that we can't talk about things like LGBT issues when the suicide rate among those people is so high. It's not something that we wish. It's not something we choose. It's something who we are, and it isn't hurting anyone. And I think along with that gift of being able to choose that lot in life comes things, assets to the world that wouldn't be there. I think it's a genetic link. All of these artists, these creative people in the world, so many of them are gay. I think there's a link there. To chastise those people, I think it's a sin. I was raised Catholic. It was so hard. I wanted to please my parents and be a good Catholic. And all the while, I knew that who I was, the church despised, and many other religions despised as well. And I couldn't make sense out of it because I knew I wasn't a bad person. And I knew that what my longings were for another man,
love,
wasn't going to hurt anything, anybody, anything.
Relationship with another man.
And when I found this woman that I loved, and she loved me.
You married her, right? He married her to try to please everybody. Okay, and this is when you were really young, right?
I was in my late 20s.
Okay, he was young. And he, well, you loved her, though.
Yes.
And she was a great person, and you were a great person.
Yes.
And you married her. But on your wedding night, right?
My wedding night, I realized I made a mistake.
You're with someone else in your life, right?
There was someone in my life that
you loved too.
And I was fighting that. I was trying to please other people instead of myself. And so I said to myself that you made your choice and I had. And I didn't know what medications could kill me. I thought about other ways I probably could do it because I didn't know how to get out of it. And then I finally said, this is ridiculous. I went back to
Donald.
Yeah. And I said, I made a mistake and I'd really like to get back to you. And he said, you made your choice, I'm sorry. And so I went back to Pam, and well, eventually Pam and I just divorced. Mm-hmm. And I got back to Don, and 20 years later, we made it work until the car hit us and he was killed.
So you didn't get to say goodbye. It was just like that. How did your family ever, did they ever come around to accepting Donald? And you, I know there's more to your story. What did your family do to try to?
10 years after getting back to Donald, when there were family get-togethers, he wasn't asked to join. And after 10 years, my birthday was coming up, and it was a month away, and I called my folks, and I said, I'm sorry, my birthday is coming up, and I know you always have me over for my birthday, but, and I said, if Donald's not invited, I won't be coming. And they said, how can you do this to us? And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not doing this to you. You're doing this to me. The words that happened after that, I don't remember. And I said, I'm sorry, I have to hang up the phone. And a week or two later, I got a call back. And it was my mother. And she said, I'd like to have you and Donald come over for your birthday. Donald didn't want to. And we had a big fight, and I said, you have to. So he came. But I don't believe he came to any other family events. We're on vacation, and he was killed in England. On the telephone, the first call, my mother could call me. She said, I feel like I've lost another son.
Yeah.
All those wasted years. And the reason why I want to tell this is because of there's no need. There's no need for all this suffering.
Bird on a Wire podcast will be right back.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief, a federal judge wants to hear from Donald Trump after he sent a message yesterday on social media that some thought was threatening. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
Sends a message to him that he should not be issuing implied or even indirect threats to people who could be witnesses in this case.
Special Counsel Jack Smith has asked for limits on what Trump can say about his election conspiracy case. It's still blisteringly hot in some parts of the U.S., says National Weather Service meteorologist Bob Orovec.
The heat has shrunk somewhat, but it's still pretty much concentrated or pretty potent from the desert southwest eastward into the southern plains and the western to central Gulf Coast.
Police in Orlando this morning shot and killed a man they say wounded two police officers during a traffic stop last night. Chief Eric Smith.
The suspect has been identified as 28-year-old Dayton Bale with extensive violent criminal history.
CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. For the first time in 4 years, hate crime charges have been filed in Milwaukee. 34-year-old Miracle Reed and 30-year-old Peyton Smith are accused of committing a hate crime by attacking a group of Muslim women. The incident occurred on Sunday and was captured on video and circulated on social media. Police say Reed and Smith forcibly removed the victims' headscarves and physically attacked them. State fair officials have moved up the cutoff time for teens and kids to be at the fairgrounds by themselves. To get in the fair after 5 p.m., anyone under the age of 18 must be accompanied by a parent or a guardian. Brookfield native Joe Thomas will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame tomorrow. He started his football journey playing for Brookfield Central and played professionally for the Cleveland Browns. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Hello, this is Luann Bird. In this episode, we will be talking about prejudice, depression, suicide, and the gift of being gay. If you or someone you know is struggling, help is available. Dial 988 for the 24/7 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Again, that's 988, and thank you for listening. That's sad, but beautiful too, right?
Yeah. But it's so sad.
Yeah.
All those wasted years. And the reason why I want to tell this is because of there's no need for all this suffering.
Expand on that. What is it that we can do? There's no need for this, but it's there. Okay, so this is what you went through as a child and as a young adult growing up. And now, you know, you look at Willie and what happened to him. You know, right now we're seeing school districts forcing teachers to take safe classroom stickers off their doors. We're seeing a lot of pushback against transgender. We're seeing teachers being told they can't talk about this with their kids. How do you feel about all of that right now?
Willie could only find relief by taking drugs.
And that's what he turned to.
That's right.
You know the pain he was in, don't you? You've been there.
Yes. I don't know exactly the pain that he was in, but I have an idea. It shouldn't happen. It's not necessary. And in the school is there to educate
everyone.
It's supposed to be a safe place.
And it's not. We're not there. So there's more to your story. After you lost Donald, you did eventually meet someone else, right?
Yes.
Tell us about third relationship, I guess.
I had two relationships after Donald, and they didn't last. And through the process, and through my employees, actually, I thought I was fine. I was dealing with everything. And it was my employees that finally said, "Will, you need help." I was abusive to my employees. When they did something wrong, I made mountains out of molehills. You're in a beautiful place right now, but some bad things happened here. under my supervision because partially the way I was raised, I didn't know better, and I had some little bit of bipolar. My employees, two of them came up to me and said, "Bill, we think you need help, and we're willing to do anything to help you." And they went with me. Some tests were performed, and I had a number of things that were making it a little difficult for me to deal with problems. So now I'm on medication, and it's much easier for me to deal with problems.
How old were you when that was going on?
In my 70s. So
it's never too late to get help.
It's never too late to get help.
Never too late.
And I've been having, even when Donald was alive, I was having therapy because I knew something was wrong. I had so many things going right in my life, and I wasn't happy. And at least I was smart enough to realize that I had finally found a partner, and there was something wrong. I wasn't happy, and so I sought out a therapist, and that went on for a long time, and I thought that I was okay, and a therapist said I should go on with therapy as long as I felt I needed it. And finally, I said, "Well, I think I've used up your time long enough." And she said, "Well, if you think that you need me again, remember I'm here. And if ever you think you need to commit yourself, here's how you do it. And if ever you think that you're in the pit of depression like you were at times, as you were going through therapy, don't be afraid to call me at any hour of the day or night." I committed myself. Luckily, I could afford. I had a wonderful healthcare package with Milwaukee County as director of the Berner Botanical Gardens. Not everybody has that, but I feel everybody should. Look at here in Milwaukee County, the crime rate, people shooting themselves. They're not doing that because they're happy. They're not doing that because they're well-adjusted. They need help. We all need help when things go wrong like that. When we feel that we need a gun to protect ourselves because that's the only way. Mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wait a minute. What's the relationship between that? The thinking about, I need a gun to protect myself, and yet if you have mental health, it's the very thing you can use. Right?
Right.
So, what do we do about that? I say take the gun away. And then you can treat the mental health side. Because what you do when you take the gun away is at least you keep Willie and my nephew Derek alive. It just seems so simple to me. So if we can do that and make sure there's the mental health resources out there. I can't believe we're having this conversation again. I just had this in my first podcast.
Willie couldn't get an appointment. His appointment was weeks away.
Oh.
His folks were trying desperately in the mental health system. I know how difficult it was for me. My tremor was so out of control. On top of all this, I was having difficulty getting food to my mouth. I didn't want to go out and eat with friends. That has an impact. There's so many things that are attributable to mental health and the quality of life.
So for those of you who are listening and aren't here with us, thank you to those who came tonight. You are awesome. And thank you to those who are listening. We're sitting in this beautiful rosarium. It's a rose garden will somewhere through this tragic and challenging and yet full of love life that you've had, you have built something here. So how did this rose thing ever come into play in your life?
I think with all my problems, I was able to find my happiness by delving into what brought me happiness. And that was reading, tinkering on my business card. I have Chief Tinkerer. That's where I found happiness. And that happiness brought me where I am here today. I never expected that finding my own happiness was going to bring so much happiness to other people. So many people say, oh, I love the roses that you have created, this garden that I've created because of the money that comes in from the roses that I create. They love the garden. I love having them come to my garden. I wouldn't love having this garden if there weren't people here to enjoy the garden.
So to put in a little plug, if you check out Will Radler's Rosarium website, you can find those times when it's open. But I don't doubt that if somebody really needs a uplift, they could stop by you anytime, right?
That's right.
You would take them around these gardens just like you do me from time to time because we've become friends.
That's right.
And it looks different at different times of years. It brings beauty all year long here. So that would be great. So when you talk about bringing happiness and joy to everybody, I mean, really, you created the knockout roses and now they're like a worldwide thing, right?
Right.
And every knockout rose can be brought, you know, comes back to you creating that. How did you create a knockout rose?
When I was in my teens, I planted my first rose bush at age 9.
9 years
old. Because I paged through my grandfather's Jackson Perkins rose catalog as a kid. I couldn't wait to have my first rose bush. It was 49 cents. I bought it in as a packaged rose in a cart in an AMP store. My parents said, you're wasting your allowance. I had 2 quarters in my pocket. They always complained I didn't save my money like my brother Tom did. I'll never make anything of myself. So the rose thrived, and my mother started bragging about her son who could grow roses. I started finding people like me. They were older, though, and they were starting to cut back on their hobby because they were senior citizens, and they were cutting back because it entailed too much work. And I told myself, as a teenager, I was going to bring less work into the hobby of growing roses. And when I first had my first piece of property, that's what I started doing, is breeding roses with the goal of...
What year was that?
74.
Wow. And so you made it so that the roses, how do you make it easier? What do your roses do that make it easier? I know you don't have to trim them and they keep flowering. Is that one thing?
They're resistant to the common rose diseases that are prevalent. They by themselves keep a nice mounded shape. You don't have to trim them back to have repeat bloom. The stems are nice and strong by themselves. The blooms are long-lasting. Therefore, you have more color on the plant. It cycles faster than traditional roses at the time. A lot of this stuff, I was very lucky to produce because I was just trying to develop a few goals, and there was a power higher than me. And I think some of you may have heard that expression, and you know where that came from. Al-Anon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. Wow. Somebody was looking out for me.
So you talked about assets. Everyone has assets. And being gay brings with it assets. And it's a gift, you called it.
Yes.
Right? And we all have a gift, whoever we are.
Yep,
gay or not.
True.
Trans or not. We all are here. We're a gift. We're a gift. So I want to... You shared...
Willie had gifts.
Oh, my gosh. And Derek had gifts. My nephew, he was a drummer. There's a creative... That's worth talking more about at some point. Yeah. So you told me a story today. This podcast is about what can we do. And by sharing your story, what would you like our audience... First, before we finalize that, what you told me the story today of what you did for mental health in the gay community. And so that was another way that you reached out to bring happiness. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I was at, it was a celebration for a fundraising event. It was for the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin. And they had gotten a sizable check for to pay for mental health for AIDS patients that came to the center. And it would pay for so many hours of mental health. When I heard about it, my reaction was, oh my God, for the state of Wisconsin, this was so many hours. I was in shock. And after the celebration was over, I went up to the officers in charge of the AIDS Resource Center and I said, did I hear correctly that this is the amount of hours that physicians are going to be available to help patients that come to the center? And they said, yes, and this is a breakthrough. And I said, that can't nearly be enough. And they said, yes, but it's the first step. I said, well, don't you need to make some kind of announcement that more is needed? And they said, well, we need somebody to make that step. And I said, how do you do that? And they said, well, could you be that person? And I was in shock, and because I didn't think I could be. I didn't think I had that money. I hadn't put that money in the garden yet. It was just the beginning of making the changes in the garden and the house. And I said, well, I can think about it. And we had a meeting, and they proposed a 3-year funding for a project. And it was $1 million. And they asked me if I could do that. I said yes. I didn't really know if I could, but I knew something had.
So Will did it, and we are so grateful for you, Will.
And from that funding, they told me, others have stepped up since, so.
It's a powerful story. It's a good... It's good for our listeners to hear that, Will. We were talking today about he has those kind of resources and I have time. And I can give back my time right now to help people.
Right.
And so whatever it is that you've got, if you're feeling down and hopeless, if you're feeling depressed, right?
Right.
You make that call because you matter, whoever you are that might be listening to this. You matter.
Right.
And we'll help you get through that, right? Someone will help.
Right.
There's crisis lines and there's that kind of thing out there. So I just want to thank you, Will. Should we take a few questions from the audience?
Sure.
Anyone have any questions or? Yeah, Kathy.
I have a comment. One of our problems with mental health right now and Willie not being able to see a therapist is that we don't have enough. There's a shortage
Correct.
Of therapists. And back in 1970, I had an ex-husband who went through social work school, who was paid. It was to become a therapist, social worker. It was paid for by the federal government. All that funding has been withdrawn. And if you want to become a therapist, it means you must go through an education, at least a master's degree, and go into debt. What we have to do on a policy level is do what we did during the Great Society, which is fund more social workers, more therapists.
I agree.
There are plenty of people who want to do this work because it's very noble work, but on a policy level, it's something that's worth pushing, at least as far as I think.
And it's popular. There's research that shows how popular it is. I applaud. It's not easy to talk about suicide. It certainly wasn't when my nephew took his life in May. The message, though, we should share, right, Will, is that it's not the family's fault. In fact, they
tried so hard, so desperate.
They did, didn't they? And they even did an intervention.
Yes.
With Willie to try to save his life.
Yes.
There's more that we have to do. We can do better. We can do better. We can build those relationships with our legislators. We can reach out to them. We can show up at we can call the town hall hotline. Call into that show and talk about your story. Because I'm finding, as I share mine and Will shares his, a lot of people have been through this. It's not uncommon. We've all been touched by suicide or gun violence or bullying. You have a little thing here. This might be a good way to end this message. He's got a message here that you want to maybe share with our listeners.
Yeah, it's not okay to bully. It's not okay to show disrespect. It's not okay to have easy accessibility to drugs and guns. But it is more than okay to be gay and be a valued member of the community.
Well, thank you very much, Will. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you to our listeners.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Bird on a Wire on Civic Media and that you're inspired to take action on issues you care about. For more episodes, visit us at civicmedia.us. I'm Lou Ann Bird. Thanks for listening.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos, chicken on a stick, deep-fried old-fashioned, or pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different
different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pinot Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. After a social media post by Donald Trump yesterday that seemed to threaten his legal pursuers, the special counsel Jack Smith last night asked a court to limit Trump's comments. Today, a federal judge ordered Trump and his attorneys to respond to that request. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
Could the judge limit his social media? That is possible, although that would likely raise some significant First Amendment issues. It's more likely that the judge will issue a more narrow order that limits Donald Trump from releasing anything that's from the grand jury or witness statements and the like.
On his Truth Social site, Trump wrote, "If you go after me, I'm coming after you." In a statement, a Trump campaign spokesman said it was the definition of political speech and was in response to rhino, China-loving, dishonest special interest groups and super PACs. Police in Orlando have shot and killed 28-year-old Dayton Bale, the man they say shot and wounded two city police officers last night during a traffic stop. Chief Eric Smith.
The suspect barricaded himself in a room. Several attempts to get the suspect to surrender were made and refused to give up. At 8:58, the suspect shot at our SWAT officers multiple times. SWAT officers returned fire, striking the suspect. The suspect is now deceased.
Police believe Bale acted alone. The officers are in critical condition. A near total ban on abortions in one of the nation's largest states has been put on hold.
A Texas judge says the state's abortion ban has proven too restrictive for women with pregnancy complications and must allow exceptions without the risk of doctors facing criminal charges. The court in Austin heard detailed testimony from the plaintiffs last month, including from one woman who went into life-threatening septic shock and the baby was stillborn. The state is expected to seek a swift appeal and has argued that Texas ban already allows exceptions, calling doctors' fears of prosecution unfounded. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
A newly approved protection for infants against a common respiratory virus will soon hit the market, says CBS's Natalie Brand.
U.S. health officials say infants should get a recently approved drug to fight RSV. Beyfortus, developed by AstraZeneca and Sanofi, is expected to be ready later this year. RSV sends more than 50,000 children to U.S. hospitals every year, and several hundred of them die.
Well, as you may have heard, there was no winner in last night's Mega Millions jackpot drawing. The jackpot will be $1.55 billion for Tuesday night's drawing. There have now been 31 straight drawings without a winner. The odds of matching the numbers on five white balls and a separate mega ball, about 1 in 303 million. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK. Okay.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.